This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I don't think Adam Peters and Dan Quinn are, like, singing this to Jonathan Allen. That is the twisted mind of Metal Chris. Now, listen, I mean, obviously, the Commanders are saying goodbye to Jonathan Allen on this Friday as, you want to say as expected? I mean, yeah, as expected. I mean, like, look. There were three possibilities when we found out. And look, all of us were aware, even before we found out last week, that he had been granted permission to seek a trade. Even before that, we all knew Jonathan Allen was likely not going to be here. As a matter of fact, I remember talking to him in Detroit right after the playoff win. And I was like, you know, this could have been your final game if you guys hadn't won. Like, did you think about that? How much did that mean to you? And Jonathan Allen's not really a super-duper emotional guy with the media. You could tell it meant something to him, and he said as much. I don't remember exactly what he said, but, like, it was a different Jonathan Allen than really I ever kind of remember. So the team made it official today. They release him. These things happen all the time around the NFL. This is not strange or foreign to anybody. Unfortunately, it's a salary cap league. It's a production. It's a diminishing returns league. I think we all know that. $15.5 million base salary. No guaranteed money. There's a reason why Daron Payne is still here as opposed to Jonathan Allen, and it's not just because Daron Payne is clearly the better football player. As a matter of fact, I think most people would say Jonathan Allen, when right, when healthy, is still slightly the better player. I don't think it's like a slam dunk or a surefire thing, but I think most people would say that. And the reason why Daron Payne is still here is because he would have cost $25+ million in dead money. And Jonathan Allen cost none. $6 million in dead money. So he had a $15.5 million base salary, and they save $16.3 million in cap space, and you move on, right? And unfortunately, he wasn't. Now, I don't know how much they tried either side, but clearly, at least for now, he wasn't willing to take a pay cut if one was offered. I certainly understand that. I wish sometimes guys would do that, especially when you've made the kind of money that some of these guys have made. Most of these guys have made. There is a difference between a first-year player and a second-year player versus Jonathan Allen or any vested veteran who's been around for 8-9 years and who's been paid handsomely and so on and so forth, right? But I would also say this. Just because this has happened does not mean Jonathan Allen will never play again for the Burgundy and Gold. I mean, it could happen literally this year. If Jonathan Allen doesn't get what he wants on the free agent market, whatever he's looking for, and the Commanders still have a hole at defensive tackle, could they get together on a one-year, $4 million deal or something like that? Sure. With heavy incentives? Sure. It's just right now, Jonathan Allen thinks he can get more. Thinks he can get more. And maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. We'll see. There was the rumor last week that the Minnesota Vikings were specifically interested in him. I wonder, you know, like the Eagles are going to lose Milton Williams in all likelihood. I wonder if he would be willing to be a part of that rotation with Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. I wonder if he would be willing to be part of that rotation and whether he feels like, you know, hey, if I can get 7 or 8 sacks somehow playing a lesser but still an important role. I don't know. I'm just kind of coming up with something here. Would I be willing to do that? Not too far away from home. Chance to show them that I still have got it. Chance to hurt them in the division. You know, he obviously had the major injury last year. Torn pectoral in Baltimore. Everybody pretty much thought he was gone for the rest of the year. And maybe that was it. But the tear wasn't as bad as they thought upon surgery, and he rehabbed his ass off, and he came back, and listen, he played against Atlanta, he played against Dallas, and he played in all three postseason games, and he was good. He was their best defensive lineman, period. Not even a question, right? So this is, while a lot of people go, oh, well, you know, for the money we were paying them, no big deal. I got it. I understand why they made the move. I'm not saying I disagree with the move. I get it. I understand it. Like, you're not talking to somebody who was born yesterday. I get it. But the bottom line is to say that and to act and operate like it won't hurt. No, that's not the case. Right now, they didn't have good enough last year or in the postseason. What makes anybody think that right now this doesn't hurt or won't have an effect? Right? Now, how much of an effect? That I don't know. I mean, because I got to see what the rest of the plan is. But Jonathan Allen, right now, and I would venture to guess, down the road, assuming he doesn't come back in July, because he doesn't like what's out there, and no team's willing to pay him what he thinks he's worth, you know, Jonathan Allen is going to be a hard void to fill and improve on. Again, it's not just, well, you know, we have these young guys, and Sheldon Day's a free agent, by the way. We'll just get another guy, and he'll fit next man up. That's how a lot of you people think. That's not true. That's not the way it works. Okay? That's not the way it works. So, the Commanders taking on the $6 million dead cap charge when they have all the room that they have, makes sense. To save, again, the 15, I got it. It's a business. I understand. There isn't a lot of loyalty on either end. I got it. I understand. I wish it didn't have to happen. I wish there was a way. Maybe there will be one day. For now, there wasn't, or there isn't. And again, don't know if there, I mean, based on what Adam Peters said last week at the Combine, all options are on the table. I would take that to mean, hey, John, go out, search for a new home. See if you can get what you think you're worth and value. And if you can, you can. We love you. Maybe one day, you know, you'll be in, what is it, the Ring of Fame or whatever. I don't even know what the hell they call it. Ring of Honor, Ring of Fame, Ring of whatever. In Landover or at the new stadium. You'll always be a Commander. You'll always be a Redskin. You'll always be welcome back. But go out and find what you think you can get. And if you can, we'll shake hands, you know, again when we see you down the road. But there is a chance that he doesn't find what he's looking for. Let me give you a good example. It's not exactly the same situation, but Kyle Finnegan, right, who was just a guest of the Junkies on earlier this week. If you missed that, you can check it out on the Team 980 on the Odyssey app. Just go to the Junkies section. I think it was Wednesday. Kyle Finnegan. The Nats didn't want to pay the arbitration, likely arbitration cost, $8.5-9 million, whatever it was going to be. They turned down that. He becomes a free agent. He looks around for 2.5 months, whatever it was, 3 months, doesn't find what he's looking for, doesn't have a job. Pitchers and catchers have reported. Spring training has, you know, basically begun. And he looks around and says, well, you know, it's not exactly what I wanted. It's not exactly fair. It's not exactly what I was hoping for. But it's certainly better than sweeping floors. So I'm coming back to the Nationals on the deal that basically he had last year. Finnegan. Now, Jonathan Allen, again, not the same situation. Obviously different sport, different role, different everything. And he's never, ever, ever, ever going to make the kind of money that he's scheduled to make. That's not happening. But after he goes around in free agency, and if he can't find a deal, and say the Commanders had tried to get him to take, I don't know, a pay cut, you know, he was scheduled to make like $15 million base with a bonus. Maybe they had tried to shave $11 million off of that. And he said, no, I'm good, thanks. You know, whatever, I'd rather go out. Well, maybe 3 months from now, they haven't really filled the void. You can't hit everything. Maybe they have, but maybe they haven't. And he looks around and he says, you know, at mid-June, mid-July, you know, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. I'll go back there for 1 year, $4 million. Maybe some incentives that, you know, boosts my pay $6 million, $7 million, whatever. It's not exactly what I wanted, not exactly what I was hoping for, not exactly how I view myself, but I want to play football. And that's the organization I know. And they're possibly going to win a championship. And I would love to be a part of that. I wasn't willing to do it in March, but late June, early to mid-July, even into August, that's different. You start getting like, man, am I going to have a job? So I would not close the door permanently on Jonathan Allen. I know many of you probably have and will, and good riddance, and the Linnell thing, the Alabama bank robber thing. That's the wrong way to approach it. Jonathan Allen busted his ass for this team. I mean, did he do some annoying things? You know, in the huddle and that interview with JP Finley 2 years ago. You know, where he's cursing left and right. And he was mad. He was frustrated. I mean, we were all mad. We were all frustrated. We hated that team. Hated the organization for being so incompetent, so ridiculous. Right? And yes, he got paid handsomely in his time here. Jonathan Allen has made $76.59 million. Nobody should feel bad for Jonathan Allen. Nobody. He's fine. He's good. I'm guessing, as smart as that guy is, I don't think he's got any kids yet. He was always mature beyond his time. I'm guessing that guy's got a lot of that money left over. Right? So maybe he looks around and he says, all right, if I can get 1 year or 2 years, $12 million per or whatever, it's a little bit of a haircut, I'll do that. For a contender, I'll do that. Not far away from home, I'll do that. But maybe he doesn't. Maybe the only option he's got is, I don't know, playing for the Seattle Seahawks. And while that's a contending team, 10 wins, defensive-minded coach, blah, 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 all of that. I think we talked about Seattle as a possible team last week. And he could easily do that. But maybe he doesn't want to go that far. And he looks around and says, not worth it. I'd rather take my chance that somebody suffers it. Not that anybody's rooting for an injury, but maybe I wait into camp and I keep myself in shape. And I play a lot of golf, but I keep myself in shape for that phone call when somebody unfortunately loses somebody in week one of training camp. Happens all the time. To a long, significant injury that they were counting on. And maybe they're desperate. Maybe they got a bunch of cap room. There's a lot of ways that this can go. My point being is, this ain't over yet. So there's a possibility that John Allen could come back. Now, what's interesting to me is they tried to include him in the Deebo Samuel deal. San Francisco didn't go for that. So there's probably and likely a handful of teams that are interested, but at what price? Clearly, they felt, okay, we gave it a week, week and a half, whatever it was. It didn't work out. We tried, they tried, what have you. Teams aren't stupid. Again, they look around and go, wait a second. I got to give up something to get him, and I've got to take on his $15 million salary. I know Houston just did that with Christian Kirk yesterday after we got off the air. There's a difference. There's a difference. They're about the same age, maybe like within a year of each other, but Houston was desperate to help out C.J. Stroud. No Stephon Diggs. Injuries up the wazoo last year. New offensive coordinator. They were desperate. And they took on an injury-prone Christian Kirk, who's a damn good player when he's healthy, but he's making a good chunk of change. Nobody was willing to do that for Jonathan Allen, which is, again, understandable. If the Commanders weren't willing to do it, and they have the cap space, why would a bunch of other teams be willing to say, no, you know what? We'll pay you 15, because they know, hey, man, if we're a contender and we can put a good presentation and we really like the player, maybe we can get the player for, again, 1 year, $8 million, $7 million, $10 million, whatever it might be. Whatever it is. And maybe that's how they approach it. I mean, I fully expect him to get a deal with somebody else. But if you turn around a month from now and he's still a free agent, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked, because it, again, depends on how much he wants and how he and his agent value themselves. And again, don't be shocked if eventually he comes here. But the Commanders weren't able to squeeze anything out here because of the contract. Not because of the player, not because of the man, not because of the talent, because of the contract. So now that the contract is out of the way, he can sign for whatever he wants. And it doesn't have to be 1 year, $16 million. It could be 1 year, $12 million, or 1 year, $10 million, whatever it might be. Now that big, big prohibitive blocker, if you will, is not in the way. But again, it could work out that it just doesn't work out somewhere, and eventually he decides to come back. We'll see. I guess you would keep your eye on Minnesota. I haven't, San Francisco, I don't know if they have the cap room, but they just let go of Javon Hargrave. Kinlaw with the Jets is a free agent. So that's a possibility. I don't know. My sense is Jonathan Allen does not want to go somewhere where it's a three-ring circus. So I don't expect him to wind up in New York at either of those spots. But You know, if you get, I don't know, a spot in Buffalo or a spot in Pittsburgh or a spot in Philadelphia, as we mentioned, or a spot in Baltimore, that I could see. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We could take your calls about that. End of an era. How do you look back on Jonathan Allen's time here? Good, bad, indifferent? I think most of you are indifferent. I think that's wrong, but most of you are indifferent. As well, Bobby Wagner returning. When you heard the news, I assume most of you were happy, but are you guys of the thought that it's too much to play for an aging linebacker? I wanted to kind of wrap up that situation, if you will, next. We'll do that. And then we'll get into a bunch of other things, including, again, the Capitals making a trade here before the NHL trade deadline, acquiring winger Anthony Beauvillier, who has bounced around to a bunch of teams, Islanders, Penguins, Blackhawks, I think, too, and was with the Penguins. Second trade the two teams have made this year, of course, reacquiring Lars Eller earlier in the year. Caps home for the Detroit Red Wings tonight. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And I have more. I got a bunch of sound we got to get to as well. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us. Almost halfway home here on a Friday. We'll take you up till 4 o'clock. Craig Hoffman then. Don't forget Nats, Mets, spring training baseball here on the Team 980 tonight at 6. Metal Chris on the other side of the glass. You can join in, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. So, again, the Jonathan Allen situation is what it is. Again, I would never close the door back this year, next year, whatever. I mean, certainly done for now is how I would label it. The Commanders have officially announced that Bobby Wagner is resigned. He's meeting with the media as we speak. He said he considered no other team because it didn't arise to that. I obviously felt good in what the Commanders were offering him and where that was going. He could have gone easily into free agency. Nobody would have blamed him. We all know Pete Carroll, Vegas, all of that, closer to home. He felt comfortable. Now, how much did it help that, you know, the season they had last year? Of course, his relationship with Jaden, DQ, Joe Witt maybe. The fact that he's getting his extra degree at Howard University. How much that helped? Who knows? I mean, all of it, I'm sure, helps. The one thing that is interesting, though, I wanted to check this out because I wasn't sure. You know, Bobby Wagner played like 98% of the snaps last year. Told you, I think he played over 1,200 snaps or whatever it was. I mean, clearly and obviously, the human body breaks down at some point. And we know that Bobby Wagner's maybe not as explosive as he used to be, and they need somebody to set the edge, and da-da-da-da-da. And so he doesn't have to scrape up everything. So people are like, last night they were like, well, you know, if they can get Jordan McGee up, yes. But here's the thing. It's not like Bobby Wagner can play 60% of the snaps on game day. You know, like Bobby Wagner, in order to not play a significant amount of snaps, has to be injured, which is what you don't want, okay? And here's what I mean by that. You know, if a wide receiver who plays, you know, a ton of snaps, or an offensive lineman, right? It's not a, like, if you wanted to basically make a lineup switch, not that big of a deal. But because Bobby Wagner wears the green dot, right, there are other players that are eligible. I think it's up to three players that are eligible on game day. The team has to designate to wear the green dot. But it's not like you can have Bobby Wagner play just on third downs or just on first down or just on second down in certain packages and then have, you know, somebody else wearing the green dot, Chin, if he's back, Jordan McGee, whatever, on third down and in this package. You can't do that, right? So the only way to kind of spare Bobby Wagner's body is for him not to play. Because otherwise, you have to have a different system to get the calls into everybody. Because again, you can't have Bobby Wagner playing a certain package. So they think Bobby Wagner's still a full-time player. And a player that can play 900 snaps, whatever it might be, 1,000 snaps. They think that. Whether they're right, wrong, whether it's, you know, something to think about. Because while there's other players that if Bobby Wagner was injured and therefore inactive, somebody puts on the green dot, right? And they call the plays and you're good to go. Now, if they get injured, you know, again, during a game, you can switch to a play. But I'm talking about like limiting Bobby Wagner's snaps, not by injury. I'm talking about by design, by scheme, by plan. That you really can't do that I'm aware of. Unless, again, like you can't shuttle them in and out. That it doesn't work with the rules, unless I'm missing something. So that's an interesting component to this. Keep that in mind. All right, time for a trending alert. And then we will get into the Trey Hendrickson situation from yesterday. I want to examine that. We got Charles Barkley to come. Not one-on-one. But you're going to hear something from Charles Barkley that caught my eye yesterday. We'll do all that before 4 o'clock right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the Capitals are in action tonight back at Capital One Arena. And they are taking on the Detroit Red Wings right in the hunt for that eighth and final playoff spot. You can hear the game, 6:45, 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. But today, the NHL trade deadline, the Capitals have already made a move, as we've told you about, acquiring winger Anthony Beauvillier, 27-year-old forward, 20 points this year with the Penguins, 13 goals, 7 assists, 63 games, really good at 5-on-5, formerly a first-round pick of the Islanders. So the Capitals franchise more than familiar with him. He's bounced around since being traded by the Islanders, Vancouver, Chicago, Nashville with Barry, and then finally to Pittsburgh, where he's having a pretty good year. Again, 13 goals, 7 assists this year. They give up a second-round pick in the 2025 NHL draft for Anthony Beauvillier. Meanwhile, big trade in the NHL world on this deadline day. The Dallas Stars have acquired Mikko Rantanen, who earlier this year was traded from Colorado to Carolina. Carolina unable to sign him to a long-term deal, but Dallas does. An 8-year extension in place for a player and 2 first-round picks, according to ESPN. Meanwhile, we told you Jacob Young joined us last hour. If you missed it, check out the podcast, theteam980.com, or on the Odyssey app at the Team 980. Jacob Young, national center fielder, and the Nats getting set right here for the Mets spring training baseball, 6 o'clock with Charlie and Dave on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. And finally, from the NFL, we've been talking about it all day. Bobby Wagner officially re-signed, Jonathan Allen officially released, and the Titans have released pass rusher and edge player Harold Landry. And that's what's trending. Now, will they be playing this tonight at Capital One Arena after a win over the Red Wings? See? Capitals, again, making the trade that we told you about several times today, shipping a second-round pick for Anthony Beauvillier. Beauvillier's always had tons of speed. Tons of speed. You know, I watched him a lot from his career. He's a little inconsistent, but this year, after bouncing around to a bunch of teams last year, been pretty good for Pittsburgh. You know, certainly he can help them. The Caps weren't expected to make a lot of major trades I don't know if this would be considered major by any means, but it's maybe a little bit more significant than we thought they would make. You know, there were some rumors about Kyle Palmieri with the Islanders, and instead they do this. Second round pick, a little high, ideally. You know, but this is, look, when you're a contender, a true legitimate contender, you make moves like this. A true legitimate contender, not a want to be wishful, hoping that this pushes us over the top. A true legitimate contender. So you have that. Don't know. I can't imagine he'll be in the lineup tonight, but we'll see. All right. So you have that. And Chris Patrick's going to talk at about 5:30, I believe, at Capital One Arena with the media. So, you know, it'll be too late for tonight, but we'll certainly have reaction to that in the weekend when we return on Monday. And I'm sure you'll see it all over Twitter and all that good stuff. All right. So I wanted to get to this. At 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. First off, the Titans, as we mentioned, releasing Harold Landry. This was expected like 2 weeks ago. Harold Landry actually, according to PFF, graded out better as a run defender on the edge than he did as a pass rusher. So it is possible, being that he doesn't cost any compensation in terms of trade compensation, that he immediately jumps high, not only on the Commanders board and target list, but also on many others, right? Period. I mean, just that simple. Again, he doesn't have the injury history that I'm aware of a Bosa. He is not just a pure edge pass rusher with no real ability to anchor against the run. And that is some of the concern, along with age, for Trey Hendrickson, right? So yesterday, when we were literally doing the final parts of the show, we said, oh, Trey Hendrickson has been granted permission to seek a trade. And look, that's immediately a name that people recognize. He had 35 sacks over the last 2 years. 17 and a half last year. I mean, everybody understands that knows anything about football. Trey Hendrickson at the right defensive end spot has been a damn good player for a number of years for the Bengals. Before that, New Orleans Saints. And he can help. And help in a big time way. But he's going to cost a lot of money. A, on an extension, unless you don't want to do the extension, which seems kind of silly to me. But also in terms of the trade compensation for the Bengals. Now, how much could the Bengals get for a player with 1 year left on his deal, coming off a 17 and a half year, 35 sacks over 2 years, 30 years old? I shot out an idea. Listen, I didn't talk to anybody about it. I didn't think about it for long, but I said, hey, a first this year, number 29 overall, just from a Commander's perspective. A third, which is mid-70s, low-70s. I can't remember the exact number. I'll get you the exact number in a sec. And a sixth in 2025, which would pretty much knock out much of their draft class. Not all, but much of their draft class. Right? I said a first, which is 29 overall. A third, which is 79 overall. That's the one remaining of the third round picks that they didn't trade in the Lattimore deal. And a sixth, they would have, if that all went down, they would have 2/7 and they would have their second round pick and they'd be wiped out besides that. So they'd only have 3 picks. Now, clearly, at 61 overall in the second round, you would think if that would be the case, they would try and dump down and get more picks. But can't say that for sure. But the point being is, I said if they wanted to put a package 29, 79, and 207, first, third, sixth. Essentially, the first is, you know, an early two, but, you know, you get the point. And man, did people get mad at me. Because I also said, you know, a four-year, $120 million extension. Figuring $30 million is around the sweet spot for a premier edge pass rusher like Trey Hendrickson. And boy, were people salty with me. Guys, listen, I'm not an agent. I'm not a contract negotiator. I'm not a salary cap executive. I'm not a general manager. I'm just dumb old me. Okay? I mean, I try and use common sense. I try and give you an educated perspective. I didn't have time to break down the player calculated market value and everybody else's contract and all that stuff. I was just shooting out an idea. And I was just like, hey, if this is the price tag for Washington, would you go for that? And some people didn't have a problem with the compensation. I talked to people, obviously, around here, right? And they thought, well, you know, like maybe you can adjust the second round pick, or maybe, you know, instead of the first this year, a second round pick next year, or something like that. Like everybody's kind of got, you know, different ways of looking at it, right? And that's fine. Again, by no means was I saying this is what they should do. This is how they should do it. But I mean, if you look at Max Crosby's deal, right? Max Crosby just got an extension, $35 million a year. Nick Bosa, not the one that's available, makes $34 million a year. Josh Hines Allen, not the Josh Allen that matters, makes $28 million a year. Brian Burns, $28.2 million. T.J. Watt, 28, just over 28. So, I mean, the sweet spot for Hendrickson on extension is probably $30 million, roughly, somewhere in between that. He's not going to get as much money, I don't think, as Max Crosby or Nick Bosa, but, you know, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more than 30. I don't know. I was just shooting out a number. It seemed like most people had the issue with the actual draft compensation, right? A first, a third, and a sixth. And certainly, I'm that would not be my first offer, but I was just basically trying to use somehow, some way, hey man, if this is what Cincinnati says and that will get the deal done, do you do that? And again, part of my thought process, you got to get a contract extension done before you make, like, if you have permission to talk to Trey Hendrickson and his agent now, that's what this time is for. Hey, would he be willing to come here? Yes. Would he be wanting to be here? Would he be willing to commit long term? Well, you got to pay me. Well, what kind of contract are you looking for? So that's the deal. That's the deal. Whether you like it, don't like it, think it's too much, whatever, understand. But that was my initial impulse. Now, I'm willing to talk about a bunch of things. But here's the question at 301-230-0980. I know we got a couple of guys on hold. We will get to you in a second. We'll start off with Wes. Actually, we'll do it on the other side because as look at the clock, I just don't want to butcher the clock. Here's the deal.
Don't make me angry, Chris.
I'm not going to make you angry. I'm not going to make you angry at all. Here's the deal. From a Commander's perspective, of course you wouldn't trade a first, a third, and a sixth, sight unseen, first blemish, no negotiate. Of course. But if that's the price tag, if that's what Cincinnati says gets the deal done, and what his agent says gets the deal done, are you in? Or are there just too many other veteran edges available that you're like, eh, Trey Hendrickson has 35 sacks over the last 2 years, 17 and a half last year with no real help. Not good enough for me. We'll take your calls next. Stay tuned. Hang tight. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, heading towards 3 o'clock right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Let's go right out to the phones, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Wes in Orange County, down there in sort of the Fredericksburg area. What's up, Wes? How are you?
Hey, Richard. How's it going, man?
What's up, Wes? Thanks for the buzz.
Hey, listen, I was calling to check and see. I noticed that the Texans traded a next year seventh-round draft pick for Christian Kirk, and we were in the market for a third receiver, and I was wondering your thoughts on why they wouldn't go after him, especially when they were looking for one real bad.
Well, I don't think they were expecting. I mean, I got to be honest with you, Wes. I don't think they were expecting anybody to take on that contract that Christian Kirk had. I think it was like $15-16 million. I'd have to double check the exact number. I was surprised when they made the trade. The seventh round pick was it this year or next year? I can't remember. You said next year.
No, it was for 26.
26. Yes, okay. Yeah, 26. So think about this, right? Earlier this week, Joe Tooney went a two-time All-Pro and a stud at left guard who could also play left tackle went from the Chiefs to the Bears for a fourth round pick. Now, fourth round different than seventh in 2026, right? Not this year, next year. And that's a stud, okay? When Christian Kirk is who's always injured, but obviously had a connection with Cliff Kingsbury and a lot of people had circled the. I just don't think they were expecting anybody to actually trade for him and take on that contract.
I got you. Yeah, I didn't realize that he was up for $15 million. Now, okay, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And one more quick question, if you can.
Yes, sir.
I noticed that they, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about Debo and, you know, being $5 million against the cap this year, but then. You know, you listen to other radio stations or whatever, and they're saying 17, and I was just kind of confused on that. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. And I appreciate your show.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Good to hear from you. Yeah, as far as Debo goes, like, you know, because you're going to have to pay him, because you're paying him what you're paying him. And right now, what Terry is on the books for, and obviously, again, everybody expects a contract extension, that should lower Terry's cap number. There is going to be room, theoretically and realistically, for an addition from the outside. Now, whether it be, again, a Darius Slayton, whether I don't think it'll be a trade for DK Metcalf, even though that was my guy before. I don't think Cooper Kupp is coming here. You know, again, the name I continue to say, everybody wants Darius Slayton from the Giants. The name I continue to say is Mac Hollins from the Bills, who's a little bit older, but... little bit bigger body type, can block on the perimeter. Yes, he's a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs with the bare feet and all that stuff, but that's not what... I mean, he's productive, and he can block on the edge. I think the wide receiver group will be significantly improved when we get to camp and through the offseason, because remember, you could still attack it during the draft. I think it'll be significantly better than last year, but... Do I think it's great? Not until I see Debo back to being Debo and healthy. And you got to hold your breath on a lot of these guys. Same thing for Cooper Kupp. You got to hold your breath that nothing happens to oft-injured guys. All right, 3 o'clock, Team 980. Stay with us. On the other side, we will continue along. Trey Hendrickson, Harold Landry. We'll get a little more caps. We'll hear from Charles Barkley. Lakers with a big win last night over the Knicks in overtime. All of that stuff. We'll cover it all on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.